light. Tell the jailer not to bother with his meal of bread and water. He is fasting till the killing's over. He's a martyr, thinks he's a prophet. All
sons killed 19, Germans crossed the seas back in 17. One thing that's for damn sure, they're a wild old family.
Oh, road by, road through here, three more plain boys and a wild Alex there. They were armed.
Song is John Prine.
Now, wasn't that nice? We were having a lesson in stage deportment over here. Here he is, in the flesh, with Tales of Florida, from North Fort Myers, although he's lived up and down the state. He's lived in South Georgia, this area. And I've told this story about him many times. To look at him, you wouldn't think that he types a perfect manuscript, but he does. He's written a novel. He writes a column for the Fort Myers paper, a special. He's an authority on old log burning, coal burning, steam engines. And he's a primitive painter, a sketcher, and I think he's going to bring out a couple and set them up here for us to admire. Let's welcome our friend Frog Smith. Yeah.
Thank you, Amir. Yeah. Thank Cousin Thelma for allowing me to bring the pictures on here, but they tie in with the tales I'm going to tell you now. Whether you believe them or not, that's your own business and hard luck, because I keep on going here. She runs me off stage. But I'll tell you this now. Those pictures there represent the greatest industry we had in Florida at the turn of the century. That was cutting timber, sawmills, making lumber to build houses down here. And that's why I want to show what we did back then. Now, I write this column. I ran a TV show. And about the first question I get off anybody coming down from the north is, what did you folks do down here for money before us northerners came down here and brought it? They don't think anybody but the Yankees ever had any money in Florida. They say, well, what did you eat before we came down here and brought money for you to get something with? Well, buddy, we lived down here. Jobs like that paid $1 a day. And on top of that, why, we had a lot of game in the woods. And if the people had treated the game like the Indians did, killed only what they needed, we'd still have plenty of wild game in Florida.
All right, Ron.
I boarded a place over in West Florida. I ate so much raccoon in that boarding house until I got to where I could tell if a raccoon came off of the hill or off of the swamp. You could tell, because if he came off the hill, he was good eating. Eat like a possum. But if he came out of the swamp, he tasted fishy. Well, now, here's something else now. Georgia up here, Georgia said to be, some folks call it God's country. Well, maybe so, but I tell you what, there was a lot of devils up there, too. A lot of times, those fellas up there get into trouble up in Florida while we had to skedaddle and skip out to Florida. Georgia wouldn't hold us after it got too hot to hold us while we came on down here and started a new life. Well, we got down here, we had plenty of wild meat and bears. Of course, it's kind of like it is today whenever the folks are going back to wearing beards. You could hardly tell which was a bear and which was your next door neighbor. But the bear ate the best. And you get the grease out of a bear. But then we had wild hogs down here. Well, I was frog hunting one night down here in the Everglades, and I pulled my boat into an old gator hunter's camp, and he was eating fat pork off a wild hog, and he had baked him a flour hoe cake on his frying pan over his campfire there. Well, they say that the fat pork will kill you. They say that the flour bread will kill you. And if you'd have seen the can he was drinking coffee out of that he brewed right over his campfire, you'd have wondered how he survived that. They say that pork has a citrino worm in it. The citrino worm is supposed to kill you, be death on you. But I tell you, folks, I've eaten a lot of pork, and I never yet swallowed a worm of any kind that my tapeworm couldn't lick. But... But now, we didn't go hungry down here. Well, you take a fellow that had to get out of Georgia, well, that means he wasn't used to eating much up there. You can bet on that. We used to up there, they said he used to swallow a meat skin, pull it back out, and then the next one down the family line swallow the same meat skin. But it was hard times, all right. We eat Hoover gravy and all that, but we lived on it. And I used to work in that mill that's over there against Cousin Thelma's desk. I worked 11 hours and a quarter in that mill. I'd get off at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, take my shotgun, still have the gun too, go to Otter Creek Swamp down here and shoot enough squirrels for next day's dinner. The only trouble about it was, in a 45-minute lunch period, you didn't have time to pick the bones. But we didn't suffer down here at all. We had some wonderful dishes down here. Some of these dishes are native Florida dishes. Now, how about purlieu? I saw it advertised up here in the cook tent today. Purlieu, that's a stew made out of wild meat or chicken or any kind of a meat you can get. And it was always a great dish. Picnics and all kind of gatherings like that. One time down here on Itztucknia River, that's right where Santa Fe and Suwannee River runs together, and Itztucknia, I guess that must be the baby because it's in between them. But they had a big picnic down there one time in 1895. Train left out of Gainesville and two locomotives and a string of old wooden coaches, and they had so many passengers coming to that big picnic on Itztucknia River that the train couldn't get over Santa Fe River Hill down there. Finally, after they ran the hill twice and couldn't make it, and they saw they were going to stall on the hill the next time, the passengers got off and pushed the train over. You know, life in Florida was great down here then. But they got on up there to the trestle where the picnic was to be, though, and they went to serve a lunch up there to the people. Of course, down here, us crackers don't say lunch. We say dinner. And that's what it is. And they started serving out the dishes, and one old cracker come up there with his long whiskers around here and his handlebar mustache. And he went up there and got his serving of purlieu and went over there by the river, and he looked at it real hard, and he poured it in the river. What had happened if somebody had left the eyes in a squirrel head and cooked it in the purlieu? Well, they asked him what in the world he meant by pouring good food like that into the river. He said, I ain't eating no darn stew, and the varmint are staring at me. Well... It was a wonderful life down here. We hadn't started eating armadillos down there, but you know, gopher is a great dish. The old sandhill tortoise kind of outrun the rabbit that time. Of course, they call the rabbits hares back in the storybooks. But anyway, they were real good eating. And how many of you know them people believe it, know it, or even believe it? That in a soft shell turtle, you have seven different kinds of meats. All of them are good. We had a lot of good eating down here. And one time down here, when they were building the overseas railroad from Key West on in here to Miami, they had a bunch of Italians working in there. Now, Italians are fine people. I mean, in fact, my first wife's husband was an Italian. So I have to hear a lot about the Italians to get along at home with her. But this Italian came over here, and he didn't understand all this Florida wildlife. Come out one morning, he was sick, and he was grimacing around there, making faces and rubbing his stomach. Some of them said, "What's the matter over there? What's happened to you, Tony?" "Oh," he said, "me eating a chick with the big eyes." He'd eaten an owl the day before. So you can eat anything down here. Now, I'll tell you, I have eaten a hen hawk one time. That made the best gravy. And back during Depression days, down here, times got so hard that the only meat we had in our house for 2 weeks was these old black crows. Now, I hear a lot of people talk about whenever they make a mistake and have to make up for it, it's eating crow. Well, we ate crow and we were glad to get it down there. And I was bored with a man. His house was built out of cross ties. And they didn't have any wall around the kitchen. They cooked outdoors under just a lean-to shed. But the varmints would come up there at night and come up that night and lick out the pots and pans for us. Well, I found a dish rag in a pot of spuds there one time, but I finally moved my boarding place after they got up there and got in some of the cat and dog or something, or they got in a fight with a polecat in the kitchen. I got out of there then. Now, I boarded at another place over there in West Florida. That's before Florida became a tourist state. And the landlord brought in a quarter of beef and hung it in the little log cabin kitchen. Well, we didn't have screen doors down in West Florida at that time. The mosquitoes could come and go as they pleased. And they hung that quarter of beef up there where the mosquitoes and the flies, too, go through those big, wide cracks between the logs in the log cabin kitchen. You know, the longer that quarter of beef hung there, the tender it got. And it's a good thing it did, because it wasn't a dentist within 30 miles. But when those fellas come down here from Georgia, had to skip out, a lot of them took to the dark woods. And the funny thing about it was with them, when they came down here, used to eating anything they could get a hold of, and they got acquainted with these Florida crackers down here that could eat alligators, coons, bear meat, wild hog meat, and all that. You know, that made a breed of people that you just simply couldn't starve out. But we are in Florida here today, still living strong. Now, I'm a young one yet. I'm only 82. But my great-grandfather right here in White Springs, he lived, he married at 90. And he had a job at 100. He was a jailer over here in Lake City at 100. And he fished and fiddled up and down Shawana River until just 2 weeks before he died, 107. Now, he grew up on all this wildlife down here. It's a country you can live. Now, down at Fort Myers, I had a man down named Bill Belvin. And he went out in the woods, didn't take anything. He didn't wear his underwear. It was all he wore, just his underwear and shorts, out into the woods, and took his glasses with him that he wore. He started him a fire out there. He made him a grass skirt like a hula dancer. And he lived in the woods out from Fort Myers, Florida, for a year in the woods, just eating off of what he pulled off of the land. He ate the buds out of palmettos. He ate berries and wild fruits down there, all stuff like that. He got all the fish, crabs, and clams he wanted from the edge of the water right there where his camp was. He came out of the woods several pounds heavier than he was when he went in. And a woman in Texas read about it and came over there and married him. Of course, he's dead now and gone, but anything will kill you after a while. And so I love to cook. You know, I call myself a cook. And I cooked a batch of biscuits one time, and I ate about half of them. I gave the other half to the dog, and he went off and caught a polecat to get the taste out of his mouth. Thank you.
Well, we'll have to stew up some of those things some of these times and see how they taste. Now let's welcome one of those outlandish groups from out of state, the Caney Farkas, Graham Betty, Heather, and Holly Cash have been coming to the Folk Festival for a long time. Graham teaches folklore at Tennessee Technological University. And they specialize, well, we'll see what they specialize in. Let's welcome the Cash family.
We're going to do one that probably all of you know, but we thought we'd do some that's sung up in Tennessee, some verses that are sung up in Tennessee. And these particular ones came from around Sparta and Putnam County, White County. This song is Billy Boy that all of you learned in school. But we want to sing some new verses for you.
How tall is she, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? How tall is she, Charming Billy? She's as tall as airy pine and as straight as a pumpkin vine. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother.
Is she fitten for a wife, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Is she fitten for a wife, Charming Billy? She's as fitten for a wife as a pocket for a knife. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother. You can join in on the last verse on how old is she. And we say 3 times 6 and 4 times 7, 28 and 11. That's different ones on that, but that's the one we say. Everybody's going to sing and you can join us.
How old is she, Billy Boy, Billy Boy?
Forever and ever, and she has to have it every night still, and we go on and on and on, verses and verses, and if I leave one out, she puts it in. So.
All right. This is a song that we've done here a few times before, and some have asked us to do it again, so we will. This is a good sing-along song called The Unfortunate Man. Let's go through the chorus a time or two. I'll do it, and then you do it with me, and then you'll see how to come in with it. Everybody get ready to listen, and then everybody get ready to sing. He's a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate man. He's a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate man. Now sing. He's a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate man. He's a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate, a very unfortunate man.
There once was a lawyer they called Mr. Clay. He had but few clients and they wouldn't pay. At last of starvation he grew so afraid that he courted and married a wealthy old maid. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. At the wedding, the lawyer made one big mistake. 'Twas not in omitting the wine or the cake. The ring was well chosen, they had a big feed, but the lawyer did not get a warranty deed. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. She went to the washstand to bathe her fair face. Thus she destroyed all her beauty and grace. The rose in her cheeks quickly grew very faint, and he saw on the towel 'twas nothing but paint. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. She went to the mirror to take down her hair. When she had done so, her scalp was all bare. Said she, "Don't be frightened to see my bald head. I'll put on my cap when I get into bed." He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. She hung her false hair on the wall on a peg. Then she proceeded to take off a leg. Her trembling husband thought sure he would die when she asked him to come and take out her glass eye. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. Her husband was biting his quivering lips while she was removing her counterfeit hips. Just then her false nose clattered down on the floor, and the poor lawyer screaming ran out at the door. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. Now all you young men who would marry for life, be sure to examine your intended wife. Remember the lawyer who trusted his eyes and a little bit later got quite a surprise. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. Once more, he's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes.
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
For our last number, we're going to do something that we've done before, but somebody asked us to do it again, so we're going to do it in the morning. Tomorrow, we're going to let them do some more, and they're going to do something for you in sign language also tomorrow. But we're going to do right now a song that will take you all the way through history. And some people call it 4,000 years ago. Some people call it 10,000 years ago. But we like to call it the bragging song. And I think you'll know why when you hear it.
Well, I was born in Alabama.
I saw Adam and Eve driven from
One of our favorites who's been coming for a long time from over at Bell, Florida, you know where that is Carolyn Whatley. Carolyn says, I've been singing and playing the guitar for about 7 years. I learned from my mother, different friends from records and radio. She plays weekly at Swanee Cove on the Swanee River. And if you want to hear more, go over there to hear beautiful Carolyn Whatley.
Thank you. This one has to be just a little bit taller. I sing at Swanee Cove every other weekend. I want to tell you that. I got it mixed up, I guess. But this first song I'm going to do, I want to do a medley of about 3 Jimmie Rodgers songs. I think it'd be right to be listed in the book. It's country music without doing that. And it's Any Old Time, TB Blues, and Mule Skin.
Long day.
very seldom ever heard it sung. And I do a complete reversal. I sing it, but don't pick it. You could hear me pick, you'd know why. It's an old Carter family song. It's called Wild with Flowers.
I've got it.
I would wine with my mango to break the glass. The rose is so red and the lily so red. The meadow so bright with its emerald hues. And the pale and bitter and fast and so blue. I would laugh if I would sing and my life shall be gay. Just told me, said, "You know, I will always love you." And I do know it. So, I thought, you know, the words are very pretty and all.
Oh,
your way.
Thank you.
feel like singing longer.
Oh,
I guess.
Thank you, Dad.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed deserts bare, man. I've beat mountain air, man. I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been a father, father, river, mother, mother, mother,
I'm going to go to the hospital.